Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm your guest bailiff, Paul F. Tompkins, and today we're clearing out the docket.
Clearing out the docket.
Are you ready for your first letter, Judge Hodgman?
No, I am not ready, Paul, because I want to say hello to you, my friend, Paul F. Tompkins. Thank you for joining once again as guest bailiff on this program.
Oh, hello. You know, after last week, I had a lot of time to think about whether or not I wanted to return to the program.
Sure.
I talked it over with my wife, with my pastor, with my lawyer, with the town elders, and of course, the Magic 8-Ball. And now I'm back once again for more of whatever this is.
Outcome is unclear.
Reply hazy. Try again later. What does later mean to the Magic 8-Ball?
He's busy right now.
Is it a second later or is it days later?
I think at that point, anything is later. He's just put it off once again. Mm. I'm referring to the genie of the Magic 8-Ball, and because I am a chauvinist, I'm presuming it is a he. I apologize. Paul, for those who did not listen last week, and also to maintain the timeless quality of this podcast, which avoids too many callbacks. Oh, no, that's wrong. It's only callbacks. will you allow me to remind everyone that Paul is a comedian, actor, podcaster and broadcaster extraordinaire, host of the Spontanea Nation podcast, which is an amazing comedy podcast that Paul F. Tompkins hosts, as I just said. And it has a monthly live show component as well at Largo at the Coronet once every month. You've seen him all over television in your famous Paul Thomas Anderson movies. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul F. Tompkins.
Hi, everyone who can't respond.
Hold for applause.
Please take your seats.
That's my line. But we can all sit down now because here we are in chambers where we are going to clear the docket, Paul. I know that you've listened to the podcast from time to time, but I will explain it to you. That way, the people who don't know what I'm talking about, I don't have to single them out and make them feel dumb. They can hear it and say, oh. Normally, we have people call in flawlessly over the internet to discuss their disputes in their lives, and I tell them who's right and who's wrong. Sometimes, it's just me and regular bailiff Jesse Thorne or guest bailiff like yourself sitting here in my incredibly comfortable virtual chambers, discussing quite a few cases that we can sort of solve without having to talk to other people.
Yeah.
So, does that sound all right to you, Paul?
Yeah. Look, John, if we can eliminate people from this equation, meaning Earth, altogether, I'm happy.
Well, podcasts are a good step.
John, are you ready for this first letter?
Now I finally am.
Emily writes, you've previously made a ruling on voicemail etiquette between siblings. The brother in that case would never leave a voicemail message when he called. I have the opposite problem with my older sister. She will always leave a message, usually something like, hey, it's me, call me back, with no further information.
I love an opposite problem.
It's fun, right?
It's great. It's not prob. It gives me something to build on. I'm not starting out fresh.
Yeah, it's like you're on a bizarro world.
Yeah.
To me, this is just a waste of time. Since I know her and love her dearly, of course I will call her back when I see that I've missed a call from her, no matter what the circumstance. I would even call back sooner if I didn't have to listen to and erase her message. I have explained this to her hundreds of times. She thinks that I will forget to call her back unless the message is left, although I cannot think of one instance where this has happened. Please help me escape the annoying voicemail lady once and for all.
And how many exclamation points?
Three.
Three at the end.
Well, I hope you don't mind throwing a little sauce on it.
No, I enjoy it very much indeed.
It was a very dramatic letter.
It was an incredible imitation of Emily. Paul, before I give you my opinion, let me just acknowledge that you and I are friends and we communicate with some frequency, usually via text message.
Full disclosure, yes.
Because we both agree that talking on the phone is dumb and terrible for the most part, right?
Yes. So, now, and John, may I say, there was a time when I used to love talking on the phone, but as cellular technology continues apace, it seems to get worse and worse. Or maybe it's just that the other means of communication are so convenient You can get out very quick information that doesn't require a whole conversation. That is, we've become so dependent on that. But I remember I used to really love talking on the phone, but I think that cellular technology is such that
right.
it's never quite the same as it used to be in the old landline days.
I know. This is one of those situations where technological advancement has really resulted in reduced quality.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it is incredibly convenient to be able to talk on the phone, let's say, while driving in a car at fast speed with young children in the car who rely on you to be alert to keep them alive.
Yes.
That is convenient. But yes. It does not in any way replicate both the clarity and, frankly, pleasure of a landline conversation of yore.
Yeah.
When you are talking to a bud over copper wire. And there, and it was, I mean, the only thing that would rival that for pure pleasure and communicative efficiency would be talking over a chat program on the internet. That's the only thing. And let's say Skype, for example.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, yes. So we don't really talk on the phone that much. And voicemail itself has become something of a vestigial object these days. How do you feel about this case before I weigh in with my dumb thoughts?
I will say that the message that says, hey, give me a call with no information, is maybe the thing I hate on earth the most. I cannot stand when people do that. And especially when someone in my family, one of my sisters does it. And of course, my first thought is someone has died. That's why they didn't leave. That's why there was no information. Someone is dead and you can't leave that in a voicemail. And I hate it. I really hate it. There's a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, John, whose name I will not say on the air. And maybe he knows who he is if he's listening to this, mm-hmm. who is notorious for doing that. Hey, it's me. Give me a call. Why don't you tell me what it's about? Just say that. You're two-thirds of the way there if you're going to commit to leaving a voice message. Just also say, I want to talk to you about this thing that apparently requires a conversation.
Now, that said, Paul, and having established that you and I both do not love to talk on the phone via cell, how did you feel about the fact that I was on the road with my Vacationland tour and bored? And had no one else in the car, so only my own life at stake, and I used my hands-free system within the car to call and leave you an extremely long voicemail message full of information that was not meaningful to you at all.
John, apparently that was not just hands-free, but also microphone-free, because I could barely make out what you were saying.
Is that so?
Yes, it sounded like you were calling from the International Space Station.
Well,
the connection was so bad that I did not bother calling back. I was like, no, I'm just not gonna deal with this in real time. It was a terrible, terrible connection.
So does that mean you don't know that person we both know has died?
No. That must have been a dropout.
That's not true. No, I was just calling to lard up your cell phone's memory with some well wishes and hellos and musings of my own.
I do not mind that at all, because I was in my car as well, and I listened to that while I was driving. And despite the terrible connection, I could make out what you were saying, and it helped pass the time a little bit in a not unpleasant way.
Well, I just listened to Spontanea Nation, and I needed to tell you how much I enjoyed it. But so here's what I'm saying, Paul. Your assessment of the situation is mostly right. Insofar as it confirms with my own opinion, mm-hmm. The voicemail for purposes of leaving a long meandering message to which you require no response, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you require a response, then you should write an email or a text message. But if it's just like, hey, I was just thinking of you and I wanted to say to you with my voice, I enjoy your podcast, Spontanea Nation, or something else. I think that I enjoy getting those voicemails, and that's
sure.
That's a piece of content that is being given to me for free, and there's nothing expected of me for having listened to it. But as a means of communication or initiating communication or contact, voicemail is profoundly vestigial. Now, I am not necessary anymore. I would say that calling, it didn't occur to me until you said it, Paul, and so I'm enlightened in this way, that you're right. If someone says, hi, it's me, call me back, to me, that's the end. It never occurred to me to think that someone had died. But it's true that that could cause a lot of anxiety. To me, the equal anxiety would be conjured by a voicemail where no message is left. Do you know what I mean? Where, yes, someone tries to reach you, doesn't reach you, there's no message. Now it's like, what's going on? Why do you need to reach me? All options facing Emily and her sister are bad, because a blank voicemail message is anxiety producing. Hey, it's me, call me back, I now understand, is equally anxiety producing, never mind time consuming. And so the only acceptable option, I would say, if Emily's sister persists in calling and leaving a message, is to leave an incredibly brief message that indicates, a verbal emoji, if it will, a signal that Emily should call her back. And that should just be ping, and that's it.
Do you know what I sort of remember from the early days of answering machines is you would always, always, always state your business at some point, even if it was, hey, I was just calling to say hi.
Right.
Does that ring a bell? Like, I feel like you had to, it was sort of the part of the compact of leaving messages, was that you had to give a reason. You couldn't just say, call me back. And I wonder if it's because communication is so immediate now that we kind of get it in our brains. I know you have a phone on you, so you're going to listen to this right away and you're going to call me back right away. Whereas it used to be in the days of the answering machine, was there because the person was out and about, unreachable by telephone. So you felt compelled to fill them in when they got back to their answering machine. Here's why I am calling. And I feel like the way it should be now is, it's not that if you're already on the line saying, hey, it's me. You might as well say, call me back about this specific thing, or give me a call. There's something I want to talk to you about, or whatever. But just the, hey, call me back, I feel it's to me, and I don't know if I am justified in saying this, it feels rude. It feels like it's very presumptuous, you know?
Yes. Right. Well, I mean that because the technology is now so immediate, there is usually an expectation. I mean, that if someone calls and says, call me back, it feels as though they're asking you to call them back right away.
Imagine it'll be, hey, it's me, call me back, I command you.
You know, now that we are all, for the most part, in Western civilization, reachable by phone, and by email and by text simultaneously and immediately, it produces a lot of anxiety because we forget that just because some rando who has our number or our address had it in a mind to press a button once, now we feel compelled to jump at their command. But just because some random person has the idea to get in contact with you doesn't mean that you have to be in contact with them at a time that is not of your choosing. We used to take that for granted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, who knows how long I'm going to be at the store, you know? Mm-hmm. I will call you back when the time is right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like I struggle with that I have to remind myself, oh, I don't have to respond to this immediately. I can do the thing that I'm currently doing, and then when I'm done doing that, I can respond to this person.
I think that Emily's sister should stop calling. I think Emily's sister should do the very least, if she wants to reach Emily by phone, as I say, and she gets that voicemail, I don't think she should leave a blank voicemail. I think she should leave a verbal ping, which they know between them means, I'm just calling to say hello, give me a call when you can. Like, that wastes less time. And it will also alert to Emily that there's nothing more meaningful or serious going on. In this case, ping is a code for a pre-arranged bit of business that Emily's sister is stating. Does that make sense?
It does, but it does not help Emily escape, as she calls her, the annoying voicemail lady. And I don't know if she's referring to the pre-recorded message or Emily or her own sister.
Right. What I would encourage is Emily's sister to stop calling. I mean, truly. Emily, I would encourage, if it is professionally a possibility for her, should leave an outgoing message saying, hi, this is Emily. If you are my sister, don't leave me a voicemail. I'm not going to listen to it. Text me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can arrange a phone date via text, which I think is a little bit more convenient. Woo! We covered that one.
We
talked
sure
about
did.
Old-time technology.
Oh.
It was good.
It was like a trip down memory lane, John.
Yeah, remember when there were lanes?
Now it's all avenues and boulevards.
Let's go
cyber
on.
Cyber highways.
Cyber highways. Paving the cyber highway of the future, a thing that was a very compelling thing to say in 1999.
John, are you ready for the second letter?
I am prepared.
Mark, with a C, writes, I live in a... Thumbs down. I live in a house with two other people. Last year, a new roommate moved in. We have traditionally split the cost of internet between all roommates equally at $20 each. Our new roommate said that she doesn't use internet at all, which was fine. We left her out and split the cost equally between the two remaining persons. Flash forward. And the non-paying roommate...
Wait a minute, what's the spontaneation? What's the spontaneation sound effect for flash forward?
Do-do-do-do-do-do. And the non-paying roommate is seemingly addicted to watching a streaming service through my own personal account on my gaming system using Wi-Fi that she doesn't contribute towards. I try to let this go, but my queue gets clogged up by her taste in TV and movies. Do I have proper authority to address this issue? And, more importantly, is it worth the hassle to do so? Or should I continue to let myself be taken advantage of? Well, what a non-passively aggressively framed question.
Yeah, this Mark.
I wonder if he's really interested in both sides of this story.
I might just feel that he might be genuinely lacking in self-esteem such that he is wondering whether he should continue to let himself be taken advantage of, because he poses the question, do I have proper authority to address the issue? I can't imagine someone asking this question unless they are from Canada. That's a crazy thing to ask. Mark with a C, it's your house. You predate this person in the house.
Yes.
You are the senior roommate.
That's right.
Or at least part of the tribunal of three senior roommates.
That's right.
And this person is defrauding you.
Yeah.
Whether or not she knowingly came in saying, I'm going to trick these guys into letting me use their Netflix for free.
She also, the bold and bald-faced lie. Oh, yeah, you know what? I don't use the internet. This person moved in last year. Yeah, I don't use it. I get why people do. I just don't use it.
To be fair, they could live in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and
sure.
This is one of those Amish roommate situations.
Oh, maybe she's on Rumspringa.
Maybe she's on Rumspringa. And maybe she was like, I'm going to try this out. I'll probably not use the internet or any buttons. Too proud.
Mm-hmm.
But then she got into it. Now she's going down. Now she's going down a Netflix K-hole.
That's right.
Like I did at your house when I watched all of Daredevil five times because I kept falling asleep because it was the middle of the night. And what happened, and this is the other, I mean, yeah, not only is it the bald-faced lie of using the internet, but it's also the gross offense of using someone else's Netflix, Hulu, whatever streaming account.
Yeah.
And messing up all their queues, messing up all their prefs, messing up the algorithm. Suddenly the streaming service is suggesting dumb stuff for them based on what another person likes, and messing up their process or their progress, I should say. I'll just say it like a Canadian because I'm obviously talking to one, Mark. But messing up their progress through certain shows, it's just a terrible breach of an etiquette that clearly, or an etiquette, as we used to say in 1999, that clearly this new roommate has yet to understand.
Yeah.
And the sure, so to answer your question, of course, you have the authority to call a person a deadbeat and insist that they carry their weight in this domestic relationship. If she just said, you know what, I'm no longer using the lights anymore, and then you would see light coming out of her door every night, you wouldn't just say, what can I do? I guess I'll write into a podcast. You would say, I can see you. You have to start paying part of the electric bill if you want to continue to use this service, and please establish your own streaming media account.
Yes.
There we go. We solved it.
Absolutely. Let's flash forward.
Good luck in Canada, you guys.
Let's flash forward to the next letter.
Woo, boo, 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 boo. Oh, spontaneous nation sound effect. We flash forward to that period in the far future where we all talk like this.
That's right. Future talk. Future accent.
Future.
John.
What?
Chris writes, my husband Richard, who has 20/20 vision, likes to collect and wear eyeglasses. He has at least 15 pairs. He considers them his personal accessory of choice. His PAC. That's my words, not Chris.
Does he ever have a super back? A super personal accessory of choice?
That's right. A gigantic pair of glasses. I need to wear glasses to see and have since childhood and find his attitude to be ridiculous. I also detect a gleeful button pushing to his eyeglass acquisition. I recently discovered that the most expensive pair he bought cost $450. As someone who actually needs them, I have never spent more than $250 on a pair. Judge Hodgman.
That's beyond button pushing. All right, go on.
Oh, yes, indeed. Judge Hodgman, we have other expenses to worry about, like moving cross country. I ask that you ban Richard from buying these pretend glasses in future.
Okay, first of all, let me just say that is not button pushing. Secretly spending $200 extra on a thing that you don't need is pilfering your familial bank account and is thieving. Well,
this reminds me of the fight that my wife and I had over my wheelchair collection.
Well, Paul, I was going to say you are perfect for this case because you are an eyeglasses wearer and a very fine and often ambitious dresser.
What does that mean?
Well, that
sort of sounds like you're trying to tell me something.
No, it does sound a little weird. You're not an ambitious dresser. You do always manage to get dressed.
I achieve my goals.
Yeah, you achieve your goals. But you are I don't know, fashion forward. I mean, look, you came when we went on the Jonathan Colton cruise together 1 year. Mm-hmm. You came to formal dinner wearing basically a Dracula medal. Do you remember this, Paul?
Yes, of course I do.
Like a big red ribbon with a medal.
It was a green ribbon.
Excuse me.
With a silver medal. And I was wearing white tie and tails, John. Of course I had to accessorize that way.
And do you know what, Paul? You looked spectacular. You love men's fashion. And you are a performer, and sometimes, particularly on stage, you'll go big.
Yes,
and you will not go home.
No,
right.
For I will do one, then the other.
Right, and for that reason, because this guy is accessorizing in a loaded kind of way. He's wearing glasses that he doesn't need, and so that made you perfect for this. But I had forgotten about your collection of wheelchairs that you do not need because you are a fully able walker.
But they're beautiful wheelchairs, John.
Okay, so I think I gather from your joke how you feel about this guy's collection before I add in my 2 cents, which are worth exactly 1 cent on the current exchange rate. What do you say about husband Richard?
Well, I think that wearing eyeglasses that you don't need, as someone who needs to wear eyeglasses, I don't know why anyone would want to do that. Because a lot of times I want to rip my glasses off my face because I'm tired of them being there.
And it's true that we lack Richard's voice. We lack the why from Richard in this. And I was very close to having this be a live case where we would actually have them call in until I read on in the complaint and realized that I probably could not tolerate to listen to this guy talk for 5 minutes. Do I betray too much my opinion on this situation?
That's not for me to say, Judge.
Do you have anything you want to add more before I weigh in?
Yeah, I think that I find the expense galling as well. Like it's bad. I think it's bad enough that you're doing this in the first place, but then that you're spending so much money on it. When you share, presumably share expenses with your spouse, I think that that's a real indulgence. I find that to be a very selfish indulgence.
Now, they could be fantastic multi-billionaires where money is not an object and it's just the principle of the thing. But then it just comes down to the principle of the thing.
Yes.
And from my point of view, the principle of the thing is this. Paul F. Tompkins, you always look great, whether you're dressing casual, whether you're dressing up, or whether you're dressing up, like wearing a full, you know, Scottish kilt and tartan situation for a performance. You understand, I believe, that there is a difference between a kind of performative aspect of fashion, where you're just going to push it a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or try something that is a little weird or out of date. Try up something new. Like that's a performative aspect. We all, when we dress up, are dressing up as characters to some degree. We're dressing up as the people we want to be in life. And sometimes that fashion performance becomes a little bit more baroque, whether you are on stage or off. But then there is also an aspect of fashion where performative gives way to simply bogus, where you are wearing something that is simply not true to you in a profound way. An example of bogus would be I feel safe to say, let's say a Caucasian American college student from Nantucket wearing clothes that are typically associated with hip hop. Bogus. I would say that's a little bit bogus. Do you disagree, Paul?
No, I do not disagree. I understand exactly what you're saying.
And I would say walking around with a kilt, for example, when you're not performing in Thrilling Adventure Hour, or you have no Scottish heritage, or you are not a cosplayer by passion.
You're not at a Highland wedding.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit bogus. And I mean, obviously, semi-literally on its face, glasses that you do not need are bogus. You're tricking someone in the world.
Yes.
Most of all yourself, that this is a good idea. So Richard, I'm sure you're very angry at me now, if you're listening to this at all. But I would say, I think that if you, you should know how at least two humans, and probably more, feel when they learn that you have a large collection of glasses that are all prescriptionless because you just like the way you look. People will think and come to the conclusion that you are going, that is weird and a deception and a vanity. That combined with the incredible cost of your collection feels gross. Not everyone will feel that way, but certainly I do, and Paul does, and your spouse. So at the very least, keep your collection at current status. Certainly feel free to buy old frames from thrift stores, I guess, but knock it off at the $500 frames. And remember that every pair of glasses that you are wearing that have no prescription in them is a pair of glasses that Steve Allen couldn't give to the needy.
Well, I hope he heard that through his secondhand hearing aid. Judge Libby writes, my husband and I often stream movies and TV through our video game system. This system has a voice command feature, which includes commands like rewind, volume up, scroll, pause, etc. I find the voice command system to be annoying and cumbersome, as it is necessary to halt conversation and usually requires a long series of commands, which are frequently misunderstood and have to be corrected and repeated. I think using the remote is more efficient. My husband enjoys the voice command feature and claims we should keep using it to keep the remote clean of...
Paul, are you okay? Paul, are you okay?
I'm very sorry. My husband enjoys the
voice command. Let me ask you a question. Are you having some kind of a seizure or attack, is it simply what comes next in this sentence is one of the most profoundly ridiculous examples of husbandly self-justification that you've ever encountered in your life?
It's up there, Judge. My husband enjoys the voice command feature and claims we should keep using it to keep the remote clean of food particles when we eat while watching TV. Oh, I forgot to mention, we eat in a trough. Judge Hodgman, please order him to stop using the feature when we are watching TV together. I'll make an exception for desperate situations like the doorbell ringing.
Well, ding dong.
I don't know who is ringing the doorbell. There's a monster, a very polite monster out there. Wolfman calling.
Well, ding dong, here comes reality into your and husband's life, Libby. I called him husband.
Sure.
This
might be his name.
Double perfect case for Paul F. Tompkins, because not only is Paul F. Tompkins a great dresser, but I learned from having lived in his home for a period of time this past spring while filming the television show Married, 10:30 p.m. Thursday nights on FX. Watch this time as Bernie, the vice best friend of Matt Faxon's Russ, after
next in line of succession,
after Brett Gelman's AJ, gets into some more weird hijinks on the actually very funny and great and wonderfully cast show Married on FX at 10:30. But as I was filming that that TV show in which I have a recurring role and staying at your house like a deadbeat, I learned something about you that I did not know, which was that you had a voice, a commanded gaming system.
That's right.
That you and which you use the voice command to use.
Yes.
And you like to do it, correct?
Well, I am the Libby in this situation in our household.
Oh.
Because I will use it sparingly, but my wife loves it and uses it all the time. And I have experienced the exact same thing Olivia's talking about, where there is a complicated series of commands. The machine doesn't understand at first. You have to keep saying it over and over again. Meanwhile, there is a remote that is inches away from my wife's hand on the coffee table. And so sometimes I will pick up the remote and just select the thing that she is trying to select because I can't listen to it anymore.
Yeah, I think that it is the technology as I experienced it in your home was really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And distracting.
Yeah, it's not all there yet. It's not all there yet. It's very close.
Sure, and it may well be there in the future, and that's fine. But for now, watching a TV show and someone pausing it by going, "Computer, pause," is really really unsettling.
Because the louder the TV is, the louder you have to be.
Yeah.
So that the video game console can hear you over the show you're watching.
Yeah, it sounds like it makes you feel like the person sitting next to you has a neurological disorder or may become violent at any time. And it's just not relaxing when you're watching your stories.
Yeah.
So I would say that the husband in this case, whose name I guess is husband after all, because I can't see it here anywhere, out of courtesy to his, not just his wife, but simply other human being.
Neighbors even.
Yeah, should
who are probably hearing stop, pause, rewind.
This court cannot rob a man or a woman from using technology that they bought in the completely compromised way in which it functions if they enjoy that. So if his neighbors have a problem with him screaming all the time, probably they have problems with him for other reasons, too. There's nothing we can do about it.
Probably leaves his garbage cans out too long.
But Libby is a person with whom he shares a home. And out of consideration to her when they are watching television, as Libby requests, I hereby order him to not do that, not yell at the TV unless under extreme need. And I also order both of them to stop eating food directly over their remote controls.
Maybe they need to learn how to chew properly. What? They're eating like Cookie Monster, where food is just flying out of the sides of their mouths, getting all over the remote controls.
Well, because like Cookie Monster, they don't actually have esophaguses.
Yeah.
And so they just got to mash up the cookie until it falls out of its mouth to create the illusion of having eaten.
Oh, this, what a disgust.
Me one pause now.
Rewind is a sometimes command.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I've got, and I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of TripleClick.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Judge Andrew writes, my wife regularly cites rulings by Judge John Hodgman to try to win arguments in our personal lives. I have told her on several occasions that the rulings made by Judge Hodgman apply only to the individuals to whom the ruling was given. Please order my wife to stop citing your cases in our personal disagreements.
You know, normally I don't really like to take disputes that are straight up disputes with the podcast itself. It's, you know, I bring a case against Bailiff Jesse Thorne or Judge John Hodgman or guest Bailiff Paul F. Tompkins because of X, Y, Z, or it gets a little meta.
Absolutely.
But I did make an exception in this case because we do actually have, over the course of the 200 and some odd episodes we've recorded over the past several years, established essentially a body of common law, of settled law, principles and precedents that I will refer to as we go forward, and which indeed some of the more weirdly obsessive litigants refer to when they call in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it is important to let Andrew know that when I settle a dispute, obviously I am ordering a specific person to do one thing or another. And my order to husband and Libby to stop eating foods like maniacs over their remote controls is a specific order for them. But for Andrew, I would think to be a fairly strong suggestion. And I think that, but on the whole, there is a body of settled law that I would encourage all people to at least consider in their lives. And here, it encouraged me to go back and think about what the principles we've settled on are so far on the Judge John Hodgman podcast. So JJ Ho, settled law. People like what they like. You can't force someone to like something. You can expose them to a piece of work. But if they don't like it, that's the way it is. You can't talk them out of it. This is the Tom Waits principle. A machine gun is not a robot. A hot dog is not a sandwich. Those who put in the work get to choose first. That is to say, if you're driving the car, you have a priority when it comes to programming what music or words you listen to. For example, if you are making the bed or if you're doing the laundry, Your decision to do the laundry at a certain time or five times a week is really up to you. This one has never actually come up on the podcast before, and I don't know why. It is a saying that was passed down to me via my wife from my father-in-law. It's something that I believe in strongly, though I've never had the courage to put into effect or say to someone. Bad planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. There are no demons lurking in wind produced by box fans or air conditioners. Settled law. If you are within 250 miles of a German water park that is housed in a former Zeppelin factory, go to it. Do not not go to it, Pat. You should pay for content, and if possible, pay for it in the way that the thing that you are paying for makes money and is asking you to pay for it. Be mindful of the work you leave for others. Tip everyone, because they are all humans. None of them is garbage. And you are not garbage. So do not eat out of the garbage in Canada or any nation. And respect the work that you've done and believe that your content is worth paying for. So charge for your reading series in Portland. Go Word Portland. I mentioned that a hot dog is not a sandwich. I'll put it here again. Do not try to weasel out of common sense agreements using pedantry such as this party is on private property, so I can wear my fleecy Crocs. Or to say perhaps, a hot dog is a sandwich, because it is listed on the sandwich part of this one menu that I am sending to you on Instagram right now. Although I have to say that someone sent in a picture from Cambodia where a hot dog appeared on the sandwich menu as hot dog sandwich in baguette. And this hot dog is a sandwich because it is a hot dog that has been sliced up into a different form and put into not a hot dog roll, but a baguette. I mean, it's literally, you would never call, I will put this picture online, you would never call this thing a hot dog. It is a transformed hot dog that has been made into a sandwich. But even so, you should never say, even if you agree with me that a hot dog is not a sandwich, you should never say, I will not pay for this hot dog because it appears on the sandwich menu and we all know that a hot dog is not a sandwich and I will not pay for something that doesn't exist. This argument has not been made, but I am certain it will be made to me in an email soon. Because this speaks to the overall rule of the Judge John Hodgman podcast, a podcast that exists to settle disputes. Do not seek out disputes in life. You'll have plenty of them. Don't look for fights. Don't especially look for fights trying to be on a podcast. And especially don't look for fights and disputes in your life because you are obsessed with always being right. Because the truth is, you are mostly wrong. We all are, and especially you, Andrew, right now.
Ooh, in your face.
Andrew?
That guy got faced, Judge, by you.
Yeah. On the principles of Judge John Hodgman, if your wife says this is settled law, yeah, it's settled law. Proof of that is that if you called in and tried to bring this dispute and I'd already settled the premise underneath it, I would not hear your case.
I think that a lot of times what we are looking for is for someone to back us up so that we don't have to do things differently than the way we've always been doing them. Because it's scary sometimes to make a change in our lives or to learn a new thing or to have to stop and correct behavior or whatever. And it would be so great to have somebody say, no, 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 you're absolutely right on this and you don't have to do anything differently at all. But really, most of the time, what it comes down to is being mindful of other people's feelings. And sometimes in order to do that, you have to not be able to just indulge every impulse that you have whenever you have it. That you have to say, oh, this is what I would like to do right now, but that negatively impacts this person that is close to me in some way.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, Paul. The truth is that this podcast is dedicated to providing a voice and strong support for fully 50% of the people who call in, and then is dedicated to yelling at the other 50%. But, you know, yelling is helpful, too, because I would say the people who become most surprised by the opinions of other people are those people who have, through circumstances of their life, maybe they've been alone for a lot of their life, maybe they've been single for a lot of their life, and now are engaging on new adventures with spouses or roommates or whatever, just haven't had their stuff reality checked for a while. Mm-hmm. And having your stuff reality checked for a while is a really good thing, I think. I gain from it and seek it in my life quite a bit. It's painful, but we grow. So that's why I yell at you guys. And that's why I'm yelling at you, Andrew. I'm right and you're wrong. Listen to your wife.
Well, Judge, that is all we have for today.
Well, Paul F. Tompkins, what a pleasure as always to speak to you, whether it's on this podcast, whether it's on your great Spontanea Nation podcast, upon which I had the pleasure of being a guest not too very long ago, to share occasionally the privilege of sharing a stage with you, as we are doing soon here in Brooklyn, New York, when the various scattered pieces of the gigantic entertainment Voltron that was Thrilling Adventure Hour reassemble at the Bell House for Super Week. I am sure every show is sold out a dozen times over, but
I think there are still some tickets left to the Work Juice Players improv show and maybe some for the Sparks Nevada show as well.
Okay, so if people wanted to buy those tickets, since we both work for those guys,
yeah,
where would they go?
I think they would go to thrillingadventurehour.com, and they will find a ticket link there. And those shows are Thursday for the improv show and Friday for the Sparks Nevada show at the Bell House. And those improv shows, we've done a few of them. They're always a lot of fun. It's in a really, I have to say, it's a really top-notch group of improvisers and a lot of fun. And our non-improviser friends will be doing monologues for the show, as well as your friend and mine, Gene Gray, a friend of the show, occasional guest bailiff, will be doing monologues for our improv show. So that is going to be a very fun night.
Well, I absolutely encourage people to go to that website and buy tickets and see you and us there. But in the meantime, bring it more closely to home. Paul F. Tompkins has a podcast called Spontanea Nation that is simply burning up the podcast charts. The charts are virtual, so nothing really burns. But it has been the podcast revelation of the year to me, and I enjoy it so much. Paul, I encourage everyone to go over there and subscribe right away to the Spontanean Nation podcast at iTunes, whatever podcatcher you might use. Howl.fm, is that the thing that Earwolf is doing? Is that correct?
That's, yes, they're doing that. But you can also, it's free every Monday via Earwolf, so you can catch new episodes every Monday.
That sounds fantastic. And then there are live shows once a month at Largo, as we discussed.
That's right. The next one is Saturday, October 3rd, with Drew Massey, Colleen Smith, and Victor Yared from my TV show, Know You Shut Up. They're fantastic improvisers. And our special interview guest is Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles, who is absolutely wonderful. And we will be performing a number together.
Now, if you are listening to this at this moment, you missed my shows in Minneapolis and Toronto and elsewhere.
Fools.
But despair not. Or maybe you didn't miss them. Maybe you went and saw them and really enjoyed them. Maybe you did the right thing and you enjoyed them. And then you went onto social media and said, hey, everybody who's in Seattle and Portland and San Francisco and Orlando and North Carolina, why don't you go see John Hodgman soon? He's coming to your town. This has been a little bit long for a tweet, but still I, and then you get cut off. For that indeed is what I'm doing. I am closing out my Vacationland tour over the next couple of weeks. This is my one-man show of comedy stories about river witches, cairns, Maine, and the entire world. And you can see it still in Vancouver on October 13th. Seattle on October... Excuse me. I don't have a show in Seattle. Much to my dismay and all the people on the internet who believe that I control the booking of all the venues in Seattle. I will have an off day in Seattle. We'll see what comes up that day. But I will be in Portland, Oregon on the 15th Thursday. That is a sold-out show. So if you can't get into that one, come see me either in Vancouver or San Francisco on the 16th of October. A little later on in October, I will be in Orlando, Florida on the 23rd. That's a Friday. And then on the 24th, we'll be rounding it out, closing it up, shutting it down, and setting my clothes on fire at the Carolina Theater in Durham, North Carolina. Boy, what a beautiful theater. All these places are going to be a really good time. And of course, I will be meeting and greeting any humans who want to be met or gret after the show and signing Vacationland posters, which you can get at topatico.com or buy them in limited numbers at the venues. And that's posters by Adam Hughes, incredible artist. And it's just been really fun so far. And I hope we can see you before too long, because it is better when you are there.
You can't say fairer than that, Judge. Let me tell this to the people.
Wait a minute. I can say fairer than that. I just did.
Oh.
Ha ha.
I stand corrected.
No, you go say what you were saying.
Listen up. If yous have a case for the judge, submit it at www.maximumfun.org/JJHO. I have been your guest bailiff, Paul F. Tompkins. Julia Smith produces the show. Mark McConville is our editor. Thank you for joining us for the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
And now what we're going to do is we'll just have the camera go back and our voices will go down and you and I will just chat for a little bit as the audience applauds.
Like,
so, you know, Paul, that was a really great show. Thank you so much.
Rhubarb.
Watermelon. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.